Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there? It's a lovely day, and I thank God for all these lovely days that He has blessed us with and continue to bless us with. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener and supporter, thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. And thank you for your dedication. I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. I'm live right now on that TuneIn app on any electronic device. And that also includes your smart TVs. There are TuneIn apps on smart TVs. And you can just go there at the time that we're going to be on live. And you will be able to participate and listen to the programs for that day of the evening. Okay, there's always, it's talk show radio. Okay, also I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or like to make any comments or just want to be a part of the show, why not, right? Along with you all, Chappie's Hydraulic Hole Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, number 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce. Every third Saturday of every month, the next will take place November the 15th, right before Thanksgiving, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. I want to just go ahead and I will finish my opening and giving you some other announcements in the middle of the show or at the end of the show. I just want to go and share this with you. The history of trick or treating goes back centuries. From the ancient Celts to medieval English, the Halloween tradition precedes the costumed children who will soon swarm your block. It's almost that time of year when kids get into costume and trapeze around the neighborhood, ringing doorbells and begging for treats. When you think about it, trick or treating is a kind of a weird thing. Where did it come from anyway? Halloween's origin go back 2,000 years to the Celtic holiday of Samhain, which marked their new year according to National Geographic. Ancient Irish and Scottish people believed the veil between the worlds of the dead and the living grew thin each year on November the 1st, allowing demons to roam the earth again. Along with displaying offerings and lighting bonfires for spirits, the Celts dressed up as the dead, hoping to blend in with real demons and therefore skirt spiritual confrontation. Fast forward to the 7th century when the Catholic Church was in the business of converting pagan holidays into God-fearing ones, they turned the Celts' demon-dressed-up party into All Saints' Day, moving their celebration to the church's heavenly saints till November the 1st during Pope Gregory III's reign between 731 and 741 CE. The church's holiday was also called All Hallows or Hallowmas, with hollow meaning holy. By the early 11th century, the church had also designated November the 2nd as All Souls Day, an occasion on which to honor the dead who are waiting in purgatory before being sent to heaven. All Souls Day became an occasion for door-to-door souling, according to History.com. Poor people would visit the homes of the wealthy, offering to pray for the homeowner's dead loved ones in exchange for soul cakes. The practice was soon taken over by children who asked for money, ale, or food. Back in Scotland, in Ireland, kids were doing something similar, but in costume. They visited households, promising not prayers for the dead, but entertainment, guising. Children would put on a disguise and bring some talent door to door, like sitting or poetry recitation, in exchange for treats. You might think that this practice then simply migrated along with Europeans to the United States. It was practiced in the 20th century Irish and Scottish immigrant communities, but trick or treating did not. Really spread until the 1920s and 1930s, while Halloween pranking raged. According to a Merriam-Webster blog.post research conducted by etymologist Barry Popick, suggests the term trick-or-treat first appeared in the early 1920s when several Canadian newspapers used variations of it. A November 1923 article published in the Saskatchewan Leader Post described a quick Halloween, noting that treats, not tricks, were the order of the evening, while on November 1924 article published in Alberta's Red Deer Advocate stated, Halloween night was observed in the usual manner by the young bloods in Penhold. Fun is fun, and trick are tricks. Tricks are tricks. But when such public buildings as school and memorial hall are molested with no option for treat or trick, we cannot see where either fun or trick is enjoyed by the participants. In the United States, the earliest recorded example of the phrase dates to 1928, according to Popick. That November, Michigan's Bay City Times claimed residents dreaded Halloween night when they encounter on their doorsteps the fatal ultimatum, tricks or treat, uttered in a merciless tone or... My phone is doing something, so... Okay, I had to find it again. Trick-or-treats uttered in a merciless tone by some small child who clutched in one grubby fist a small chunk of soap capable of eliminating the transparency from any number of windows. I remember they used to soap windows. Halloween candy solicitation paused during World War II because of sugar rationing, but it came back stronger the mid-20th century. Growing and thriving suburbs presented ideal routes for trick-or-treating kids, and more individually wrapped candy made the whole process easier for homeowners. Overall, the practice has taken on a much more innocent tone than its historical, demonic, poverty-driven, or mischievous iterations. Trick or treat is now a less literal phrase than the Bay City Times reported in 1928. Few children today have intentions to pull a prank if they aren't offered candy. And if a house doesn't wish to participate in the fun, they can simply turn off their porch light to avoid the attention of little ones. Not unlike the ancient Celts who played dead to avoid demonic confrontation. You might also like the women. Okay, that was the end of that. So, do you participate in trick or treating? Or do you allow your children to do that? Well, since it had to do with dead things and demonic things, some people just do not participate or allow their children to. They do the trunk or treat, right? They have food in the trunk of cars and people line up with their cars decorated, and they have the candy there where kids can go by. Excuse me. Each car trunk and fill their bags with candy. And that, I thought that was a neat thing. And I asked my daughter, How does she enjoy trick-or-treating? She said, Mom, I never went trick-or-treating. She said, we were always in church, and I didn't even realize that, but maybe that was a good thing. I didn't realize she never went. I did when I was a kid. I went trick-or-treating. Didn't always have the best costumes, or we had to do the homemade costumes because my mother never went out and bought costumes like some parents do. Not like we see today. Oh, my gosh. No way. You get a black mask or a green mask, blue or red, and put it over your face. Remember that? The ones with just the eyes and that would just cover your eyes and your nose. That was about the most I had, you know, when I was a kid growing up. But, you know, I did want to share some other things with you about trick-or-treating, you know, what's good about it and what's bad about it. Well, let's do that. What's good about it and what's bad about it? Okay, what's good? I had to type it in. What's good and bad about trick? I'm not fast like some of these young people are. Do's and don'ts. About trick-or-treating. Let's see what we can find out. Whether you are accompanying little trick-or-treaters or staying in to hand out candy, these are the rules to follow. Trick-or-treating is one of the most beloved Halloween traditions, but there are some unspoken etiquette rules that come with it. Whether you are chaperoning little trick-or-treaters or you're staying behind to hand out candy, following these general rules ensures Halloween night is fun for everyone. Although every neighborhood is a little bit different, in some areas participate in trick-or-treating festivities more than others, the adequate guidelines we have compiled are applicable everywhere. And while many are familiar with the take just one piece of candy rule, it's important to observe other unspoken rules to ensure a fun and respectful Halloween night for everyone. My phone. If you are not quite sure what time is acceptable to start trick-or-treating or which houses it's okay to approach, here's the Halloween etiquette guide that eliminates all the guesswork. And some of these you can share with your children. If you're not accompanying them on that night, use porch lights as you trick or treating guide on Halloween night. If the lights are on, it means the house is ready to welcome trick-or-treaters. If the porch lights are off, don't ring the doorbell. A dark porch generally means one or three things. The family is out trick-or-treating, they have fun out, they have run out of candy, or they simply choose not to participate. So if the house is unlit, simply continue to the next home. Number two, if you're not handing out candy, turn the porch lights off. The unspoken porch light rule applies as much to trick-or-treaters as it does to people staying at home. If you don't want to give out candy this Halloween, make sure you turn the porch lights off so that kids don't ring the doorbell and ask for candy. And if you are participating in the spooky festivals but run out of candy, flip the lights off to avoid disappointed candy collectors. Number three, don't show up too early. In some neighborhoods, trick-or-treating doesn't mean on the actual night of Halloween, but a day or two before October 31st. Make sure you check your local trick-or-treating schedule to see what your neighborhood is doing this year, in addition to double-checking for the correct date. Find out the official trick-or-treating hours. While most towns have trick-or-treating between 6 and 9, sometimes there are changes due to local circumstances or weather-related issues. Make sure you find out your neighborhood's official trick-or-treating day and respect the set hours by not showing up too early or ringing people's doorbells too late. Be patient. Number 4. As fun as Halloween night is, waiting is an inevitable part of trick-or-treating in bustling neighborhoods. You may have to wait your turn for treats, whether you ring the doorbell and it takes the homeowners a long time to answer, or there's a long line of dressed-up trick-or-treaters in front of a house. It's important to be patient. Instead of ringing the doorbell multiple times or crowding the front door while another group of trick-or-treaters or treaters is there, be patient and wait your turn. It'll make the night much more enjoyable for you and others. Number 5, be respectful. Don't hog the candy bowl. The volume of trick-or-treaters varies from one neighborhood to another, and if you are in one of that gets busy, be especially considerate when taking candy. If the homeowners direct you to only take one piece of candy, don't grab a handful. There are also times when people are not at home on Halloween night because they are at a party or taking their own children trick-or-treating, so they leave a bowl of candy on the porch. If that's the case, only take one piece of Halloween candy so there's enough for others. Number 6, don't show up to a neighborhood you have no connection to. Trick-or-treating participation is not the same in all neighborhoods. In some, people go all out with elaborate Halloween decorations, and trick-or-treating is a big annual event. In other areas, there isn't a big population of children and not as many homes hand out candy. If your neighborhood falls into the second category and your kids really want to go door-to-door in their costumes, you can always take them to a different area. While that's okay to do, there are some unspoken etiquette rules to follow. Instead of dropping kids off in a neighborhood they have no connection to, take them trick-or-treating where you know someone, perhaps a friend or grandparents. Not only is it safer, but it's more courteous to the residents of the neighborhood. Number 7, show gratitude. Being polite goes a long way on trick-or-treating night. In addition to being considerate of others and not grabbing handfuls of candy, it's important to show gratitude to those handing out treats. If you are handed a piece of candy, you are complimented on your Halloween costume. Make sure you say thank you. This simple act of kindness helps spread the Halloween spirit to all the little goblins and ghosts. Just some etiquette points and tips that if you don't know, you can reiterate with your children for trick-or-treat. Because sometimes an older brother or sister may take them. A lot of times I have seen a lot of parents taking their children trick-or-treating. And you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You have hands on and you're right there and you know what's going on with your child. And less complications during trick-or-treating. Because, you know, the world is growing increasingly evil and increasingly bad. And, you know, those are one of the signs, time of the end, that we were warned about that would happen in these last days, as the Bible says we are in our last days. And, let's see. So we were warned about some of these things. Okay, I'm going to go here because I want to know myself. Many believe the world is getting better, but the facts prove otherwise. So why is evil rapidly growing today and why? Many believe the world is getting better, but the facts prove otherwise. So why is evil rapidly growing today, and why? In Noah's day, there was evil all over the world, perhaps more at that time than at any time ever, exceedingly few more righteous before God, Noah and his family, but the word says of Noah's day could also be said of today. Where the scriptures say, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6 and 5. Why was the earth corrupt? Corrupt, the fall. So why was the earth so corrupt then and still is today? Excuse me. It is because many have fallen into disobedience of God, and like in Noah's day, they only think about evil things, mostly all the time. The fall has taken full effect in Genesis 6. Man is about as fallen as he can be. That's why there is evil in the world today. The fall of mankind in the garden, where man basically said to God, I will choose my own way and not your way. Ever since then, things have not changed because human nature has not changed. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Even today, we can see that the wickedness of man is great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Homosexuality, adultery, sexual immorality are taunted in public, and anymore people don't even blush about it. It was like that in Jeremiah's day, where it is said that were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Still fallen and falling. Those who years ago spoke of coming utopia to mankind have been gravely mistaken. We have only seen wars, violence against women and children, slavery, severe persecution, poverty, and natural catastrophes. It is very near to Noah's day today, where then it was said that the earth was corrupt in God's sight and the earth was filled with violence. That's Genesis 6 and 11. Is there less or more violence today? We know enough about world events and criminal reporting that, yes, it is more dangerous living in the world today than perhaps at any time. Just as God sees the growing evil today, God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Genesis 6 and 12. In Noah's day, today everyone still turns to their own way, and much like the book of Judges says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and little has changed since that time. Last days. Jesus once referred to the end times, most likely the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, where he said, for in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. Matthew 24 and 38. Those days refer to God's coming judgment. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 2, 4, 37. That means Noah was expecting a flood when God's judgment was suddenly poured out on them. In the same way, most people are not expecting Jesus to come back to judge the world in righteousness. They are getting married, eating out, doing business as usual. The Apostle Paul, shortly before his death, warned that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. And have they ever come? The Apostle Paul warned that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. 2 Peter 3 and 3. Clearly, we see most people scoff at the idea of God and reject Jesus openly. Worldwide violence. The most persistent entrenched rise in violence in countries is in middle income, like in Brazil. Bombing and remote violence nearly doubled as of 2022, growing by over 25% annum since 2022. The Eastern Mediterranean region was the second highest prevalence of violence against women, 37% worldwide, mostly due to the Islamic faith. Fragility is not confined to borders. Instability and violence can spread throughout regions. Displaced people can spill over into neighboring countries. In countries with reliable reporting, as many as 1 in 5,000 children under age 5 die each year from violence. So sad. Populations around the world are facing all increasing burden of firearm violence on mortality and disability. Latin America and the Caribbean is the most violent region of the world, and violence keeps rising. The number of homicides per person is 5 times higher than North America and 10 times than in Asia. The region has 9% of the global population and 1/3 of the world's total deaths by homicide. The solution is simple. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can bring peace, but it will be through the sword in the last days when Jesus and his heavenly armies defeat the nations of this world who are opposed to God and his rule. The final consummation comes when Jesus returns again, and he will bring peace at the end, and a peace that will never, ever end. The Apostle John writes of such a time when he saw the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Revelation 19 and 14. Just before Jesus Christ will rule the nations with a rod of iron, he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Revelation 19, 15. In the last great battle, the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gather to make war against Jesus Christ, who was sitting on the horse, and against his army. Revelation 19, 19. It was no contest when fighting the Lord Jesus Christ, because the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Conclusion. There is evil today, and it is growing worse. But the day is approaching when Jesus Christ will return and the end of evil will come. Are you ready? I pray you have already put your trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If that has not happened yet, my friend, you are in real danger of hell fire. And I mean in immediate danger. You are one breath, one heartbeat, one accident away from eternity, when it will be too late to repent. Today is the best day to believe. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Since tomorrow is no guarantee, if Jesus Christ came today, here is your fate. Matthew 7:21-23. This is why I plead with you as you read this. Repent today, and I mean right now. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you do not, you will face God's judgment after death. Guaranteed, Hebrews 9:27, or at Jesus' appearance, Revelation 20:12-15, which could happen at any moment. Okay, will evil be called good? Are these the last days? Are we living in the last days when evil will be called good and good will be called evil? The Apostle Paul told Timothy that in the last days there will come difficult times. 2 Timothy 3:1. And that is just what our world is today. Looking at the news, we see that people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. 2 Timothy 3:2-3. Isn't that what the world looks like today. And it will only get worse up until Jesus returns. The Apostle Peter wrote that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And scoffers have come in greater number than ever before. More people are becoming self-proclaimed atheists. And these days, what was once deemed to be good is now seen as bad by the world. And what's bad to believers is now embraced as good by the world. So how far can it go? And are these the last days we are living in? Only time will tell, but it appears to be. Well, today evil is good. Maybe you thought the day would never come when what is called good is now called evil, and what used to be called evil is now called good. How twisted is that? Up is down and down is up. Black is white and white is black. The fact is, evil and good are opposites of one another. But not when the world sees evil as a good thing and good things as evil. But that's just where we stand today in this world. And it seems certain that in these last days, that trend will only grow worse. It is very much like the days of Jeremiah, the prophet, when people are wise in doing good. But how to do good, they know not. Jeremiah 4:22. Woe to those! The prophet Isaiah could almost say the same thing about this world we live in today as the world he lived in pronouncing a woe. As Isaiah is starting that judgment, awaits those who call good evil and evil good. Isaiah writes almost as if he were writing to this generation and saying, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Isaiah 5:20. The world seeks to do evil, and when anything good comes before them, they declare it as evil. Same-sex marriage is sin according to God's word, but the world sees it as good, and now the traditional nuclear family is seen as evil too. Even though God declares it good, the world certainly has it backwards, because evil can never be good and good can never be evil. God shows us from his word that the world has it backward, because we are to hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. Amos 5:14. And not hate what is good and love what is evil. Tragically, that's just what the world is like today. The only place it is not is in the church Jesus built. The only place it is not is in the church Jesus built. Seek the good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Amos 5:14. The world tells us to seek evil and not good. During the riots the nation has experienced, the majority saw violence as a good thing because they were angry at the way things were in society. But any kind of demonstration that breaks the law and leads to violence is never good. It is always bad. It can never be good to break the law. Romans 13:1-5. The only exception to breaking man's law would be where we must obey God over man. Acts 5:29. And where they conflict with one another, to be sure, the world has lost its moral compass. Many today are rejecting what is good and embracing what is evil, and what believers in Christ embrace as good. The world sees an evil. Even the word of God is now sometimes seen as hate speech or evil, even though we know for certain that all of the word of God is good, and there is no evil in God or in His Word. It's backwards to the world, but right with us. But some preachers have been imprisoned by reading the Word of God because the world sees it as offensive and hateful when they call evil is in fact good. Conclusion. How backwards we are in this world, but not so with the church. We know what is good and what is evil from Scripture. We don't have to rationalize it or compromise, since we know God's Word and God Himself is good, and all He directs us to do is always good, despite the fact that the world sees that as an evil thing. Until the day Jesus returns, it is only going to get worse. It's no wonder, then, that many believers will face tribulation and be put to death. Matthew 24:9. Because they are good to know the good. Put your trust in Christ and in the Word of God. Only God is good. The world, not so. Because today, perhaps more than at any other time in history, the world calls evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Okay, now, that tribulation thing comes up because a lot of people think that the church is going to be raptured up. And if it is, I don't know what is considered a church. And that may be true, because I don't know it all. And some things, the secret things belong to the Lord, and no matter how you search, you will not find out exactly what's going to happen, because we don't know what context to put it into. We may have, I do have my opinion, but then sometimes I'm like, well, maybe it's not the right opinion. But I just know one day we will be raptured up. And this sentence says, it's no wonder then that many believers will face tribulation and be put to death, Matthew 24:9. So those times are coming. But I just wanted to share some things with you about trick-or-treat, Halloween, and how to date. People have switched things around because they've made Halloween more adjustable and more good nowadays than it used to be. But then again, when I look at some of the yards and the artwork that's being displayed, it is so evil. It is so creepy. Some of those things I can't even bear to look at. And people have just tried to just bring out the goblins and the ghosts and the evil. And it's just eerie. Nephilim, the giants that talked about in Noah's day, that 9 feet tall, 12 feet tall. David fought a giant that was 12 feet tall. Oh my. You know, and it's just to think that how things are changing from good to bad. You know, things have been switched around. Bitter. We're calling bitter things sweet and sweet things bitter. The good, bad, and the bad, good. So things have really changed in our day and in our age. So I'm going to share with you now some of these announcements that I did not start at first, because I did not want to. I wanted to share with you about trick-or-treat and its origin and how it came to be. And not only that, that led me to sharing with you the evil of today and where we are today, and how people are scoffers and saying that, you know, good is bad, bad is good, and just the flip side of things. It's flipped things upside down, and we're living in a day of evil. We're living in a day of woe. We're living in a day of upcoming judgment, upcoming tribulation, even more so than what we see today. We in America have been cushioned, what we consider spoiled, you know, because we've always had everything. Even our poorest is richer than anyone else in the world. Even the poor of the world, our poor is richer. So we've kind of like had not to do without anything, and we don't know how to do without anything. And we have heard and seeing persecution of Christians all over the world, even so much today over in Nigeria. I know it's in the African country and a lot of people don't care about that, but you know, that doesn't mean that it won't come here. It doesn't mean that we will not be what they would call molested as Christians and killed and hung and beheaded. It does not mean that because it's somewhere else. Each and every day, you know, things are getting scarier and scarier and getting so far away of what we consider normal. So we just can't say, well, we're good over here. Right now, we may be. But that doesn't mean it's going to always be that way. And that's another reason to get out your Bibles, read your Bibles, obey the Word of God, pray for yourself, pray for your families, pray for your cities and your states and the condition of your country and the world. Pray that you're in the right place and you're doing the right thing and you need that spiritual eye of discernment so you can be able to tell the difference between a lie and the truth. Because we are living in the greatest age of deception ever before. And we don't want our way. We want God's way. We know that our way is going to lead to destruction. But God's way can lead to eternal life. Now, doesn't that sound better? It does to me. So, that is my hope for those of you who are listening. That is my hope that you share some of these things about what's coming up on our world, the day and time that we're living in, with your loved ones, with friends, with neighbors, with people in your church world, if you do attend church. These things are important, and we are helpers one to another. And we are to hate evil, hate sin, but love what is good. Because God is good and He loves us. And that's why we want to share those things. Okay. Now this announcement I want to share with you is the 5th annual donation drive-through for the Heart of Ohio Homeless Shelter, which is located at 326 West Fairground Street, Marion, Ohio. And this takes place Saturday, November the 15th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The donation items that they need is copy paper, envelopes, stamps, toilet paper, paper towels, 13-gallon trash bags, laundry detergent, floor cleaner, bleach, disinfectant spray, dish soap, bath towels, washcloths. Thank you for contributing to a brighter, warmer future for our community. Every item matters. There will be free coffee and donuts as a thank you while supplies last. So it's a early morning thing that you can participate in. Get there early so you can get your free coffee and your donuts. Monetary donations are also greatly appreciated. If you need more information, here is their telephone number. 740-387-4550. And they are also looking for volunteers. Again, their telephone number is 740-387-4550. And that is the homeless shelter here in Marion, Ohio. Again, their location is 326 West Fairground Street in Marion, Ohio. And this is a drive-through donation. All right, so hopefully those of you in our community can participate and be a part of that. Meet and dine with the presidents of the United States of America. The event date, Saturday, November the 1st, 2025, 4:30 until 7:30 p.m. Event location, all occasions, catering and banquet facility. 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road, Waldo, Ohio. The Marion County Historical Society presents their 15th annual Dinner with the Presidents and Other Special Guests. Highlights included buffet dinner of the featured president's favorite foods taken from the White House. So that's what the dinner will consist of, whatever those presidents ate during that time. Event pricing, $42 for VIP seating, $38 for general seating, $20 for general seating with children 5 to 12. VIP seating with the presidents, speaking presidents, and first ladies, Louisa Catherine Adams, the sixth presidential first lady. They will be having William Howard Taft. He was the 27th president. T. Woodrow Wilson. He was the 28th president. And Eleanor Roosevelt, 32nd presidential first lady. Non-speaking presidents that will be there, and they will have on their presidential garb that they wore in that day. Thomas Jefferson, 3rd president. James Madison, 4th president. Andrew Jackson, 7th president. Martin Van Buren, 8th president. Zachary Taylor, 12th president. Ulysses S. Grant, 18th president. Chester A. Arthur, 21st president. Benjamin Harrison, 23rd president. Theodore Roosevelt, 26th president. Warren G. Harding, 29th president. Herbert Hoover, 31st president. Harry S. Truman, 33rd president. Master of Ceremonies, Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent. This is going back in time, people. This has got to be a great event, and I hope many of you will be able to participate and just watch and be a part of this great event that the Marion County Historical Society is putting on. Master of Ceremonies, Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent from 1914 to 1943. He served Woodrow Wilson, Warren G. Harding, Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, and Franklin D. Roosevelt. Special guest speakers is Mary Ellen Withrow, our 40th Treasurer of the United States, from March the 1st, 94 to January the 20th, 2001. I'm sorry. Reservations for this November dinner must be made by Friday, October the 17th, but I think they still have some tickets available. If you would like to know how to get tickets, you can go to Heritage Hall at 169 East Church Street in Marion, or call 740-387-4255. Again, their location, Heritage Hall, known as the Marion County Historical Society, is 169 East Church Street in Marion. Or call, if you want tickets, 740-387-4255. I would like to thank each and every one of you for being with me today. Hopefully, it wasn't too boring for you. When you're on the air, you have changes all the time, and people can come, sometimes people can't come, and that happens. But we thank Brad DeCamp for coming. He is the executive president of the Adam H. Board, which helps people with drug abuse and things like that. We thank him once again. I thank you for being with me and just listening and being a part of the show today. Thank you so very much for your love and your support. Please have a safe, blessed, and happy weekend, and be careful out there. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.